Phil Vitale's in our studio. Hi, Phil. How are you?
I'm good, John.
You a White Sox fan?
Not much. Yeah. I don't actively cheer against them. I'm a North Side guy.
Oh, really? You're a Cubby guy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What about Croatians? Do you cheer for the Croatians?
You know, last I heard they were losing, but I didn't pay attention.
They tied it up, actually.
1-1, on your way up.
All right.
Isn't that funny? So you don't know a lick about soccer, do you?
Sure.
Oh, you do? You're kind of into the thing?
Not completely, but my son played on a traveling team, so I picked up a fair amount watching.
That's a lot more than most people know about soccer.
Yeah, one of the kids on his team plays professionally. He was on the U.S. national team last time around.
Here's the question, though. What is the disconnect in this country?
Kids
play basketball, baseball, football growing up, and then they aspire to be that. Why isn't soccer like one of our major sports? The kids are playing it, and they love it, and their moms and dads go to the games and stand there in the rain. Why don't we have a better appreciation for professional or international soccer in this country?
I don't know.
It just seems really hard.
I think we will need to create a team. It might be a chicken egg thing in which we need to create a team that is really, really competitive at the top international level. Yeah. And then the interest will
follow. I mean, think about golf and baseball. The ball just is there. You hit it, you run a little bit, you're in the sun, you're enjoying some food, some beer.
I think the biggest problem probably culturally for us is the lack of scoring. Baseball, a good baseball game can be 1-0 too, but
sure.
You just have more, there's more action in soccer than there is in baseball, but there is more scoring in baseball, more opportunities to score.
Right,
more opportunities
in
for
soccer,
success.
The action is nonstop, and there's the opportunity to score is there almost every time. Everybody's one pass away from a legitimate scoring chance. Whereas in baseball, you throw a pitch. Pitch comes back to the pitcher. He stares. He gets a sign. He gets on there. Maybe takes a look over at first. See if the first runner on first is making any business. Maybe not. Okay, and then he goes back. Gets another sign. Another sign. Catcher doesn't like the sign. Shakes it off. They start with a new sign. Then deliver the second pitch of the game.
You have no chance, Steve. He's not going to stop.
But because, John, you've been watching that game your whole life, you can appreciate that. You can appreciate the signs and looking to first.
Some people find that fascinating.
I do.
But if you take a person 35 years old, you know, from around the world, sit them down at a baseball game, they're going to be bored, too, because they're not going to understand it. They're not going to have grown up watching it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference, I think.
Jeff on line one thinks he has a theory on why we're going to talk food, if that's okay with you, Phil, in just a second.
Well, I can fake it, sure.
Let's go. You are the restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune.
That's right.
Hey, Jeff, you're on WGN Radio. What's up?
Hey, guys. I was listening, and I appreciate the time. I've been coaching soccer for many, many, many years, and our family is big into soccer. And the conversation that we've been having about the U.S. men's team, which is actually, they're headquartered here in Chicago. I'm not sure if you guys knew that or not. They're down the street from you.
How about
probably
that?
Not.
Yeah, yeah. USA Soccer is in Chicago.
That's what they were doing. That's what those guys are doing in the parking lot.
That's what they're doing. You know, in most countries, soccer is a sport that people play for fun, like in Thailand and all over the world. In the United States, Phil, as you had mentioned, your son played travel soccer, and it gets expensive. On the North Shore, second graders play $6,000 to play travel soccer.
Soccer should be the least expensive sport on the planet.
It's a ball and
a field.
Right. It's the travel to get to the other competitive teams that you're playing. You spend the money on the road, don't you?
On the North Shore, they have Scottish coaches that they fly in and live with the kids.
Wow.
Okay, well, that's the North Shore.
Okay, that's on you guys.
But the U.S. team is the best team that money can buy because they can afford that. If you're in second grade and you play until you're 18, that's almost $70,000 paid
over the years
for people to play.
I know a little bit about what it would cost to outfit a baseball player with the best gear. You want your kid to have the best glove and all that jazz. But really, what's it going to cost me to get my kid on a soccer field with the best gear on a competitive team? What am I looking at? Like, what do soccer shoes cost? $100? $50?
Keep going.
Really?
My kid spends $150 on sneakers now, and he's not playing any sport.
And then what about the shin guards? They wear shin guards and knee pads? But those can't be expensive, right? That's $10, right?
No. I mean, the custom uniforms are expensive. You need a road uniform and a home uniform. No, seriously, you do.
I guess.
You have to have different colors depending on who you're going to play. Because if you go against a team from out of town and they're in black and silver, now what do you do?
Wow.
So you need two sets of uniforms, and you need that. I don't know, coach, is the individual instruction that starts running into big money?
You got to pay for the coach, maybe, something like that?
You know, it's funny because there's systems in, all around the country. There's the AYSO, which is the American Youth Soccer Organization.
Yeah,
yeah. And the parents coach, so you don't pay for the parents. And
I was an AYSO official.
Ah.
I had no knowledge of the rules.
It fit right in.
But that's what makes it fun, right?
It was.
But then you start to getting into, like you said, home and away jerseys, and the teams around the North Shore, they're custom-made for their body, and they have custom-made bags with their names stitched on them.
Nice.
And they've got coaches literally from Europe who come over.
That's amazing.
And live here in the North Shore.
Why don't we like soccer as much here is the question. I mean, it's expensive because it's rare, but why is it rare?
Yeah. I don't know. I think
the coach's point is that it's the price to be a participant at a high level beyond the means of a lot of kids. Whereas a baseball and a bat, now you're playing.
No, but other countries are not more well off, so they're not. You know, it should be inexpensive to play. Then
I'll put this on it. I'll bet it's just that baseball has been in America as a staple for a very long time. Basketball has been a staple here for a very long time. It was invented here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 50 years from now, 25 years from now, we'll look back at this conversation and find it dated because soccer will be, Chicago and St. Louis will be a rivalry people will be interested in soccer.
Right.
We don't have that right now. Hey, I got to talk about something else. Jeff, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, nice that you're listening. We appreciate it. Phil Vitel is the restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune. In the Trib today, you will find in the food section a rundown of some of the food at the Taste of Chicago and also your review of Le Bouchon and Le Sardine.
Right. Two restaurants owned by the same family.
Tell me about that first.
Okay. They intrigued me because this year, last month, Le Bouchon turned 25 years old. And in September, La Sardine will turn 20 years old. So that's 45 aggregate years for the same family running Chicago restaurants. And it's classic French bistro food, and it's terrific. It was the founding chef was Jean-Claude Poilievre, who tragically died in a weather-related road accident 2 years ago, and his wife and sons have kept the flame going, and the both restaurants, in my opinion, operate at a very high level, and the food is just the classic French dishes you want to want. There's the French onion soup at La Sardine. They have the beautiful Grand Marnier soufflés with raspberry sauce. And you can always get the duck breast, and you can get your steak frites. And you can get the mussels and scallops, Coquille Saint-Jacques, and all that great stuff.
Yeah, no kidding. That's why I guess the subtitle to your story is about what a bittersweet anniversary two years is.
Because they're celebrating it without the man who started the whole thing.
Yeah. Pictures in the paper today are beautiful. That maple glazed sweetbreads masking a creamy textured interior at Le Bouchon.
Mm-hmm.
That looks good.
It was good.
Although I don't think I want to eat sweetbreads.
Oh, why not?
Well, because I think I know what sweetbreads are.
They're an internal organ, much like liver. You eat liver, right?
It's in the neighborhood, but
just a quick hard roll, just take a right at the pancreas.
So you give it 2 stars, which is very good.
Yes.
In your review. And is the family keeping the quality and service as high as it was?
I believe so, yeah. I think Oliver, who is the chef, is... I wouldn't call him a spitting image of his father, but certainly his cooking stands up to that level.
Le Bouchon and Le Sardine. Talk to me about the Taste of Chicago.
It's back, baby. It is here. Just when you thought it was over, they dragged me back in. And it opened today, so it opened a couple hours ago, and my team has been out already, and we have filed our various reports on what we like so far at chicagotribune.com/dining.
What are your people saying they've touched so far that...
Well, let's see. We sent about 6-8 people out, and everybody went to about 5 restaurants. So I think we've hit 40 places so far. I went to 5, and everybody's putting in their little. They like this. They like that.
Now you're posting these online. I presume they'll appear in print as well.
Probably because by the time our next print cycle comes around, the whole thing will be swept up, and it's over.
So you got to read it online.
Got to read it online.
com.
Right this second.
Of the food that you tried, what did you like?
There's a Caribbean restaurant on the south side called Garafana Flava. And it is doing Caribbean food. This is their first time as a 5-day taste participant. They did a 1-day pop-up last year. And they're doing a very nice jerk chicken and then something called panades, which are like empanadas. And it's with a ground fish and corn mixture that's in a deep-fried pastry-based empanada and with a little chilled onion sauce on the side. And it has a little bit of a kick, but not very much. And those things were really tasty. I went to Rick O'Benny's, which has been around for a million years, another one around by Sox Park. And they are, they have their breaded Italian steak sandwiches.
Yeah.
Been famous forever. And I would strongly advise you just to skip that. Because everybody's had it. So what? You know, all due respect to, you know, one of the iconic dishes of Chicago, but
smart. Well, I wonder, too, if these restaurants all do themselves a disservice because it's not the best way and place to eat the food. It's not inexpensive.
Right.
I know they want to be there, but I'm not sure that that's a good showcase for what they can do.
Right, and that's interesting because that was the original intent of Taste Chicago, was to showcase restaurants and give people enough of to be intrigued enough that they will go visit the brick-and-mortar address later.
I'm not sure that it's always a taste anymore, too. It seems like you get more than just a taste, or am I wrong about that?
You are right and you're wrong. The portions have gotten bigger, but the city requires every booth to offer at least two items as, quote, taste, unquote, portions.
Oh, really?
Which are very small, which are basically half portions, maybe a little less, sometimes a little more, and at a lower price. So there's one place that's doing a Hiperito sandwich platter for 20 tickets, which is, you know, the equivalent of $15 or close to it. That's a little crazy, but they also do the taste portion, so for about half that, and you get one Hiperito sandwich instead of two. So why would you want two? Get the one.
Yeah, right.
And now you've tasted it. The exercise to me in taste is to get to as many booths as you can.
How were the lines when you were out there, Phil?
Well, I got there right away, so weren't bad. Certainly the food lines weren't bad at all. The ticket booth lines were a little long because for some reason, I will never understand, the taste people put the whole booth up. Here's where the tickets are. And at the north end, buy your tickets here. All that signage, you'd think there'd be room to put the price of the tickets on the outside sign. No, that's for you to find out. So all these people walk up and go, how much are tickets? Every transaction.
It's got to be explained, and then here's
exactly
what you need.
You know, sheet of tickets, $10. Sheet of tickets, $10. Just know that.
And maybe some average prices. I don't know. Help people know what they're going to need
right,
when they
right,
get out
right
there.
And then at the north end, that they didn't have the credit card window working. They weren't accepting credit cards at noon today, or even at 1 o'clock today. You have to go to, now you can go to the middle booth. There are several ticket booths scattered around.
Okay.
But at the north end one, the one closest to the Art Institute, they weren't taking credit cards. Like, we've been doing this since 1980, okay?
Let's get our act together, kids.
It's not like this date snuck up on anybody, you know.
Phil Vitale's in our studio. I had a question for you. I got to take a break, Phil. We'll come back. When we do, though, I want to ask you a question about social media, people posting reviews of restaurants online.
Before you go away,
yeah,
the 90 minutes has ended. It's still 1-1 England and Croatia, so they have I think it's 15-15 overtime periods, right, Kevin? And then penalty kicks after that, a shootout after that.
Okay. Yeah, two 15-minute periods or extra time, as they would call it, and if there's still no score then, PKs.
You know, I'm not an expert on international soccer, having only recently discovered it. And by that, I mean 3-4 days ago.
I thought we just solved this issue.
I don't think you should end something as big as this with that kickoff thing, that shootout, whatever you
shootouts
call it.
Yeah.
Penalty kicks.
Yeah.
Okay, John Williams changes
the
world.
When I get to be king. Phil Vitale writes about restaurants for the Chicago Tribune. He joins us midweek, most weeks here on the John Williams Show. Phil, let's talk about this another day, but what do you make of online reviews, Yelp and the stuff like that for restaurants?
Everybody's got an opinion.
Some of them look fake to me. I was looking at a restaurant the other day. And so it was just so interesting to me. I don't know how helpful it was because the ones that were glowing, I thought were fake, maybe four. And some of them were so bad, I thought this may have been their competitor. You know,
right.
I didn't know how to read that thing.
Someone called me and once said, how do you reconcile your reviews with Yelp reviews that disagree? I said, I don't reconcile them at all. I sign my reviews. It's an actual name. It's got an email address. People can write or call and tell me I'm wrong or call me bad names. But the anonymous reviews, is that the chef's mom? Is that the chef's revenge-seeking ex-girlfriend? Is that the busboy that got fired 2 weeks ago? I don't know.
Yeah. All right, I'm out of time. I'm going to read you a couple and talk more about this down the road. In the meantime, read the Chicago Tribune online or in print. You'll find summary of his. You'll actually find his review of Le Bouchon and Le Sardine, both online and in print. And online right now at chicagotribune.com/dining, you'll be able to catch up with their reviews of the food at the Taste right now,
which we're updating every few minutes.
Nice to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.